We're going to start a new sermon series today in the book of Joshua. And you can't understand the book of Joshua unless you know what happened before the book of Joshua. And they had this guy, and his name was Moses. And Moses led the people out of Israel, or out of Egypt, and he was taking them to the promised land. And they spent 40 years in the wilderness, and Moses was their leader for 40 years. I want you to think about that. He rescued them. He brought them out. They crossed over the river, and they went in the desert, and now they were right there at the Jordan River. They're just getting ready to cross over the Jordan River and go into the promised land, and Moses had been there the whole entire time. But then at the end of Deuteronomy, which is the book right before Joshua, Moses dies, and the people grieved for a month, a whole month, because they were so sad that Moses had died. Now, we don't understand this in the United States because our leaders, you know, we can't wait. No, I'm serious. We elect them out of office. And because half the population likes them and half the population doesn't like them, half the population's be excited when the leader gets out of office. We don't understand what it's like to have somebody be in a leadership position for such a long time to show people what to do and where to go and to be that strength of leadership. And when they pass away, it's hard for us to understand in America. But if you look at other places around the world, you'll see it. I don't know if you remember last December when the ruler of North Korea, Kim Jong-il, passed away. And did you see any of the videos of the people that were just absolutely grieving over the loss of this man? And you look at it and you're just like, well, I don't understand that. Because we don't. We're Americans. You know, we're happy when the leaders leave. But when you've got a person that's led a country for a long, 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 long time, 40 years, and they pass away, it is a big thing. And then Joshua has to go in and to fill these shoes. And that's a big task for Joshua. But God had promised the promised land to Joshua, to the Israel nation, and God comes to him and he says, we're going to go into the promised land and you're going to lead the people to do it. And so at the beginning of the book of Joshua, we see Joshua at the Jordan River and he's getting ready to cross over to the Jordan River and go into the promised land. And this book of Joshua, I'm so excited about this book because as we go in here, we'll see battles, we'll see people fighting each other, you'll see the walls of Jericho come crumbling down, you'll see the people go into the promised land, and it's an exciting thing, but they're all led by Joshua, this leader, this great leader who is called by God. And we get this calling of God into Joshua's life right at the beginning of Joshua 1. Beginning of chapter 1, where he says, you're going to lead the people. You're going to take him into the promised land. You've got to do it. And so Joshua accepts that call. But as he does that, God tells him, now Joshua, you need to be, and he says this three times, you need to be strong and courageous. You need to be strong and courageous. You need to be very strong and courageous. And of course you say, well, of course he needs to be strong and courageous. They're going to go conquer the land, for crying out loud. You can't do that without military might and strength. You've got to go in there. You've got to pulverize the people. You've got to get them out of there. You've got to do everything that you possibly can do to be strong and courageous. But if you look very carefully, that is not the strength and the courage that God is talking about. Because God is saying, I need you to be strong and courageous. But then in verse 7, he says, where's my verse 7? I've been away too long. Verse 7. I don't find it. I knew that. I was going to have to read it from the Bible. All right, verse 7. I should have brought my glasses. That's what happens when you're gone. It's on the screen. Be strong. Thank you. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. It is not military might. It is not strength. It is not, oh, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to beat them up with all the strength that I have. No. What is he saying? He said, you need to obey all the laws that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. You need to do what I've called you to do. This is a calling to Joshua. It's a calling like all of us have at some point in our life for something in our life where God says, I want you to do this. And folks, let me tell you, that calling, the ability to stay true to what God wants you to do is so important in so many areas of our lives. And Joshua is successful in doing that. There may be times in your life where God calls you to do something, and you may think, I'm going to rely on my strength, I'm going to rely on my wits, or whatever it is, but what you really need to do is to rely on God, to know that He's calling you to do this. And if you can know deep in your heart that you're being called to do that, you can fight a lot of battles in your life. If it's at work, if it's at school, if it's in your family life, or whatever it is, when it gets really tough, if you know that you are doing what God wants you to do, He will help you get through it. And you know that. And if you're married, some of you are, some of you aren't, but if you are married, you know this. Because marriage can be tough. If you look at the world around us, there is so much that says, you know, marriage, that's such old-fashioned stuff. You don't want to be married to one person for the rest of your life. That's stupid. And you look at Hollywood, and of course, they have no concept, right, of that. And so, everything that we see, all the things on TV and Hollywood and everything, it's you know, try it for time, and if it doesn't work, go out and go find somebody else to try out for time. If it doesn't work out, just go to somebody else. But it's hard. Marriage is hard work. And a successful marriage, and you know this, a successful marriage is when you come to the point where you realize that it's not about you and it's not even about your spouse. It's that God has called you into that marriage. And if you can know that He's called you into that marriage, you can pull from that strength and you can last for a long things. You can go through a lot of things knowing that God has called you into that marriage. For my own wife, Jennifer, see, I am absolutely convinced without a shadow of a doubt that long before the earth was made, He was thinking in His mind, this woman called Jennifer, who I was going to marry. And I just know that she is the one. And because of that, I couldn't put up with a lot of stuff. But fortunately, I don't have to, because she's practically perfect in every way. She's writing now. I'll hear about it. But the fact is, and this, I'm going to tell you a little personal story. A lot of you know that I was an engineer for a lot of time. And engineering is tough. You got to work long hours. But before I became an engineer, I had really kind of told myself that I was going to become a pastor. But I became an engineer instead. And all that time that I was an engineer, I had this feeling that God wanted me somewhere else. And the battles that came in front of my life, they were very difficult battles, and I didn't have the strength necessarily to fight all those battles. But then I finally said, you know what, God, if you just want me to be a pastor, I'll go and be a pastor, for crying out loud. And now I feel absolutely committed and called to this job. I feel committed and called to this church. And, you know, sometimes pastor work can be very, very difficult. But when you have that calling in front of you, you know that you can do amazing things, because you're not doing it for you, you're not doing it for the congregation, you're doing it for God. And if you know that God is on your side, you can get through almost anything. That's what Joshua's going to need as he goes into these battles, as he crosses over the Jordan River, as he takes over the Promised Land. He needs to know that God has called him to this job. Because it's a difficult job. Not every battle is going to go well. As a matter of fact, he's going to send some men into battle and they're going to get massacred. And when that happens to you and you're a leader, you really have to know deep down in your core that you're doing the thing that God has called you to do. And that's what God has called all of us to do. Not to fight battles, but to know that He is guiding us and that He's in our life. And there are times when we need to call upon that calling from Him and cling on to it to get through some of the battles of this life. But that's not the good news. The good news actually comes from verse 9. And do I even try to find it in my Bible? Yes, verse 9, where it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Folks, that's good news. Because there are times when Israel doesn't do the right thing. There are times when the battles don't go well. There are times when they need to cling unto God. But what does God say? No matter what, whether or not you pass or you fail, I'm going to be with you wherever you go. Why? Because you were the chosen people. I'm going to be with you. That's different from almost every other religion out there, folks. That God is going to be with you even when you don't follow Him. I want you to think about that. There may be times in your life when you take a path that is not exactly the path that God wants you to take. Is God going to let you go down that path? He's going to put roadblocks in your path? Absolutely. Is God going to leave you? Never. Ever. Because it's in those moments in your life when you most need it that God wraps you with his love and he hugs you and he cares for you. It's almost an analogy of a child, and you know you keep telling the child, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And finally you say, okay, I'm going to let him do it so he can see it himself. And the child does whatever it is. I mean, not something dangerous. And he sees what the consequences are. And what does a parent do? He wraps his arms around that child and says, I'm with you. I'm here. Do you understand now? God never leaves us, ever. He never left Joshua. He never left the people of Israel. Yeah, things didn't always go well, and we'll find that out as we go through this book, but God never left them or him. And he doesn't leave us, ever. He always is with us, and that's good news. I think you're going to enjoy this book. I think you're going to enjoy as we go through this series on Joshua. I know that you are. I know that I am. But one of the exciting things about this, when we planned this sermon series, I thought for sure that as we started this sermon series, we'd be starting construction, and that by the time he crosses into the River Jordan, we'd be opening up our building and moving into it. Well, that's probably not going to happen. But we can learn a lot of lessons from Joshua that'll help us as we move to our promised land up the street. Because God never forsakes us. God is always with us. In his name.